Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Trisha's True Crime Radio. No, I am not in a cave with the Taliban. I'm just broadcasting live from a friend's computer, and I have to use their microphone that's on the computer, so it's a little cavey sounding, but trust me, the content will be delicious. Now, don't forget, Trisha's True Crime Radio is brought to you by the Doris Day Animal Foundation at www.dorisdayanimalfoundation.org. Doris Day recognized in the early 70s, long before anybody else, she recognized that homeless animals were a problem, even in Beverly Hills, believe it or not. So she took it upon herself to start rescuing all of these animals, taking them to her house. And she's been doing it ever since. She did start the Doris Day Foundation, I believe, in 1978. And its sole purpose is to find homes for homeless animals. So visit them on the web at dorisdayfoundation.org. Tonight, do remember, the opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. Trisha's True Crime Radio is not connected in any way, shape, or form to websleuths.com, LLC, or formsforjustice.org, which are completely separate entities. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have the man, the legend, the one who hangs out at CNN Atlanta any chance he gets. Please welcome Levi Page. Hi, Levi.
Hi, Trisha. How are you? Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Thanks for having me on.
Happy Mother's Day. This is the day I call my ex-husband, and I always say, Happy Mother's Day, because you are the biggest mother, and then you can fill in the blank. He always laughs, and then we hang up. Anyway, okay, there is something new going on in the JonBenet Ramsey case. I know it seems like how could there be, but there are people in the JonBenet Ramsey case that were treated horribly, and those people were Fleet and Priscilla White. Those people are, I should say, Fleet and Priscilla White. Fleet White was with John Ramsey when he found JonBenet's body. Fleet White was the most important witness in the grand jury. When the grand jury returned the indictment of the parents, which we just found out about, and the district attorney at the time, Alex Hunter, lied about, said there was no indictment returned. Bunch of lies. Well, in the investigation, out of the blue, back in, I'm going to say 2000, this woman comes out of the blue named Nancy Krebs, and she decides to name Fleet White as a pedophile who is part of this ring, and they abuse children, blah, blah, blah. It was absolutely ridiculous. But what is even more ridiculous was the fact that Alex Hunter and the media treated it like it was real. It was disgusting what was done to Fleet White. Fleet White and his family, they've been fighting back ever since, and now they're back again. They are not going to stay quiet. If you go to websleuths.com, LLC, or if you go to forumsforjustice.org, you will see in the JonBenet forums, you'll see the papers recently filed by the Fleets, and by the Whites, and thanks to Cynic for putting those up for us and redacting the appropriate information. We do appreciate that. It is an outrage because all the Whites want to see is the file on that ridiculous report made by Nancy Krebs and the investigation. It has nothing to do with the JonBenet Ramsey case. It's over. It was found to be not only absolutely not one thing true in it, but the thing that the media forgot to mention, this Nancy Krebs woman also named John Ramsey as one of the people in this pedophile ring. They just conveniently left that part out. So you can see how ridiculous it is. That's all he wants to do. He just wants to be given the right to see that investigation, to see the papers, to see what was done to him and to his family by people who were hired and voted in to protect them, not to trash them and turn their lives upside down. You have to ask yourself why. Why was Fleet White treated so horribly? He lost his friendship with John Ramsey. You have to ask yourself why. They were best friends. I think it's a pretty easy conclusion to come to that Fleet White is not saying what the Boulder district attorney at the time and John Ramsey wanted him to say about the case. Fleet White was telling the truth. So go check out those documents. It's very, very interesting. And I did have the great pleasure of speaking with Fleet White. he is not going to be quiet anymore. There will be more to come. So hold on to your hats, because this is going to be very, very interesting. And anybody who is afraid of the truth in the JonBenet Ramsey case should be very afraid right now. Okay, let's change subject here, Levi. And I was on your webpage, and that is levipageshow.com, and I saw the article you wrote about Nancy Grace and Jane Velez Mitchell. There's some psycho, I mean, just really creepy guy who's been charged with stalking. Is that what it is, or what's the story behind that?
Well, he's been charged with sending death threats. He's a 48-year-old man. His name is David Lee Simpson, and he hails from Bath, New York. And he became obsessed with Jodi Arias. He was a big fan of Jodi Arias and did not like the coverage on HLN regarding the Jodi Arias case. So he went to Twitter, and he threatened Nancy Grace and Jane Velez Mitchell, and his tweets were just scary. He wanted to tie them to a tree naked and leave them there overnight. He threatened to tie them up by their toes, their feet, like deer, and gut them. And he was arrested driving south, and in his vehicle was guns, things regarding the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut, where all those children were shot and killed, clippings of Jodi Arias, and I think a rope was found, handcuffs were found, a nutcase, a complete nutcase, and he was found in his car driving south. He had quit his job and told coworkers he was quitting abruptly, and he was driving south, presumably to get Nancy Grace. And he was arrested and extradited to the state of Arizona, because the state of Arizona is the state that's prosecuting him, because Nancy Grace and Jane Velez Mitchell were both broadcasting their show live from Arizona, live from the Jodi Arias courthouse in Maricopa County, Arizona, when the threats on Twitter were directed towards them. So he is standing trial currently in Maricopa County, Arizona, and he's creepy. He's a very creepy guy. You can go to my website, and you can see a picture of him, and he's just another person. When you see that picture, like, oh, you wouldn't want this guy after you, because he looks like the stereotypical old, middle-aged peeping Tom.
So do you know anything more about his background? Has he been arrested for this before, or?
We don't know. I have not read anything about a criminal past at all with him.
Because, he does look creepy. Yuck.
He does. And
the fact that he was found with those handcuffs and such in his car, he was very serious, and that's what's incredibly scary about this. He was absolutely serious, and I have no doubt he would have attempted to do something to them. And let's face it, I get mad at Nancy Grace like everybody, but come on, you know, just yell at the TV and call it a day. Leave him alone, for God's sakes. So he's on trial right now. Hopefully he will be put away for a long time, because I cannot imagine why this guy should be let out into society. He's obviously a danger, and hopefully Maricopa County, that's a pretty tough county. Hopefully they'll deal with him, and Nancy and Jane won't have anything to worry about, right?
Well, you know, the sheriff, Joe Arpaio there, is known for being very tough, and this guy is going to be dealt with swiftly. I mean, you easily have the evidence against him, not to mention telling coworkers he worked in the auto repair shop that he was leaving town. He quit his job. He had those weapons in his truck. They can go to Twitter, subpoena Twitter, get his IP, trace it back to his home, and it's a slam dunk case. I don't know how much time he's facing, but he's dangerous. He's really
dangerous.
Really dangerous. So hopefully it's a hefty sentence to send a message out there that, you know, you may not like a public figure, But to go out on Twitter and threaten them with violence, especially threatening them with, you know, tying them to a tree naked, gutting them, slitting their throat, those are the nature of things that he was tweeting to them. That's crossing a line. That is completely
big time. Big, big time. And people think they can be anonymous on the internet. No, that is a absolute fallacy. That's not the truth. You are not anonymous. They can find you. So don't think you can go out there and make threats like that. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that this lunatic is put away for a long time. What's scary, though, Levi, is you and I both know there are more people like this out there, and sometimes they don't give you warning. So that's why everybody's got to be on their toes when you're out and about in society, unfortunately, because there's just a lot of crazy people. Speaking of crazy people, oh my gosh, this guy that was arrested in the Holly Bobo case, first of all, he's scary looking. And Levi, before we go any further, in case there's anybody just joining us, give us the Reader's Digest version of the Holly Bobo case, if you will, please, so everybody can be on the same page.
In April of 2011, she vanished. She was in her 20s. She was a college student in West Tennessee, a very rural area, Parsons, Tennessee. She was a nursing student. She, one morning, was witnessed by her brother following a man dressed in camouflage into the woods. Fast forward, she went missing. Her body to this day has still not been found. However, blood that has been identified as Holly's blood was found at her home, and there has been two arrests. The first person arrested was Zach Adams. He is a former student of her mother. Holly's mother was a teacher. He was a former student and had said that she was his favorite. So Zach Adams was arrested for murder and kidnapping, and now we have a second person, Jason Autry, who's 39 years old, who was the best friend of Zachary Adams, who is now also arrested on those same charges of first-degree murder and aggravated kidnapping.
Okay, let's talk about Zach Adams for a moment, the first one that was arrested. Holly Bobo's mom was a teacher. How old was Zach Adams when Holly Bobo's mom was his teacher?
I don't know exactly what grade he was in or how old he was.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know if it was like when he was really young or when he was in high school, but you said that she said he was one of her favorites?
Fourth grade. I just looked it up. Holly Bobo's mom was his fourth grade teacher, and he claimed that she was one of his favorite teachers.
Oh, he claimed.
And a lot of people are saying that may be when he became infatuated with Holly.
Got it. That would make a lot of sense. Now, this Zach Adams, in case anybody is thinking this is a first-time deal for him, he is a scary, creepy bully, obviously somebody who would not hesitate to resort to violence type guy. What do we know about his background and anything to do with his family?
He has been in trouble for domestic violence in the past. He has been in trouble for violence against his mom with using guns. He was arrested. Before being charged with Holly's murder, he was arrested for putting a gun and a knife to a woman. So, yes, this is someone who's no stranger to a courtroom, no stranger to a jail cell, no stranger with law enforcement. This is someone who allegedly had been involved in the meth trade there in this rural West Tennessee area. So he's a very unsavory individual. He's 29 years old. And I don't know, have you heard about his brother, Trisha?
A little bit, but why don't you tell the listeners, because this is very interesting.
Yeah, this is what I think is the biggest piece of evidence against him, is maybe potential testimony from his brother. His brother is in jail for unrelated charges to the Holly Bobo case, but he's in jail in a neighboring West Tennessee county. for illegally transporting guns. And Adams was in jail at the same time in a different jail. And when he found out that there was an inmate that was being transferred to his brother's jail cell, he told that inmate to send a message to his brother. And that message was, tell my brother he's the one who started all this shit, and if he don't shut his mouth, he will be in a hole beside of her. That's a direct quote.
Oh.
And what? Now he's facing coercion charges. So now we're getting a feeling of exactly what may have happened here. We have the brother being arrested for illegally transporting guns, facing a hefty amount of time in jail, in prison. And he goes to law enforcement and say, you know what, my brother is Zach Adams, and I have some information regarding the Holly Bobo case, and he's using that to get a lesser sentence, cooperating
Absolutely.
With the police. And Zach Adams, that led to Zach Adams' arrest. And we do know that the TBI has said that there is a witness. We don't know if this is the brother. They haven't identified that witness, but they said there was a witness who says that they spotted Zach Adams and Jason Autry with Holly Bobo the day that she went missing, alive. Holly was alive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people out there that know information, and the TBI has even stated, the director of the TBI said that they believe there are others out there that know information, and the TBI said they're going to show up at their doorstep.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's more arrests in this case.
I mean, what a lovely family. I wonder what Zach Adams' mom is doing this Mother's Day. Both her kids are in jail, prison, one for murder, one for gun trafficking. Gosh, what a Ward and June Cleaver household that was growing up. I mean, my God almighty. Brother turning on brother, I'd say... I don't know. It just makes my head spin. What's another thing that really bothers me about the case, in addition to having a lovely young woman's life cut down because of some scumbag maniac, is Holly Bobo's brother went through a living
mm-hmm.
hell because he was the last one to see her alive. He saw her walking away with somebody into the woods, and he just thought it was her boyfriend. I mean, he was wearing camouflage, but I guess everybody there wears camouflage. You know, it's kind of a redneck hunting town type thing. So it wasn't any big surprise. So many people on the internet just ripped Holly Bobo's brother apart. I got a feel for the guy, don't you?
And I did too. And I never really thought that he was involved ever, because there was just no evidence pointing towards the fact that he was culpable in anyway,
mm-hmm.
people just did not buy his story for whatever reason. They didn't think that his story was credible. And really, you know, when you look back at it now, it is credible. I mean,
his
sister did have a boyfriend. That boyfriend was a hunter. That boyfriend wore camouflage. So it makes sense that he mistakenly thought it was Holly's boyfriend, but people
mm-hmm.
jumped on that and they said, why didn't he go after her? If it was a stranger, wouldn't he have known? Not necessarily.
No.
Remember, it was early in the morning when
mm-hmm.
this happened. He could have just been waking up, and you know, when you're waking up, you're not alert.
Right.
You know, you see things and you brush them off. So, yeah, I agree with you. He came under a lot of scrutiny, and now we know unfairly.
And that's the thing that, Levi, I think is very important for people who go on the internet and enjoy sites like websleuths.com and forumsforjustice.org, and that is, you're behind the computer and you're anonymous. Your words have power. And I'm telling you, most people would not have said anything against him if they had to use their real names. Say, hi, it's me, and I'm from this state, and, you know, my full name is da-da-da. They never would have said those things against him. So it really causes me sometimes sleepless nights thinking, I just, I hope people are very careful before they absolutely feel like they can get on there and accuse somebody. Just because they're anonymous, they think it's no big deal. It is a big deal, and this proves it. Trust me, you've just got to try and be in Holly Bobo's brother's shoes for a moment and recognize how awful that would be to be accused by anonymous people from all over the world of being a part of your sister's
And when you look back at it now, what would there was really not a shred of evidence indicating that he was involved in any way. What would be his motive to kill his sister?
None.
We never found a motive from 2011 to 2014. Nobody has ever come up with a plausible motive based on any known evidence regarding their relationship. There was nothing. And when you look at it now, this guy, Zach Adams, this is the perfect suspect because this is a guy with a 14-page rap sheet, a rap sheet that includes violence against women dating back to the same year that Holly was abducted in 2011. A woman claimed that he assaulted her. And it goes back to even 2004 when he shot his own mother.
Oh.
And this Clint Bobo, Holly's brother, has no criminal record. None.
Right.
This guy has more than a criminal record. He has a 14-page rap sheet. And a lot of people are wondering, you have a 14-page rap sheet you're accused of dealing drugs, doing drugs, assaulting women, pulling guns out on your own mother. Why was this guy out? Why was he?
Yeah. What the hell was he doing walking around in public, for God's sakes? He was a predator. He was a monster. And unfortunately, as you know, Levi, there's lots of guys like him and worse that are out today. And you're right about Holly's brother. There was no motive. But again, that doesn't stop people from speculating about all kinds of things with absolutely no proof. Now, fortunately, on Web Sleuths, we're very careful about people accusing innocent people. We really do not allow that. I'm talking more about, topics and some of those other forums where people can just go nuts and they do it anonymously. And, you just really got to watch what you say because it does hurt, and it does cause people a lot of grief. Levi, I didn't bring this up to you, but it just occurred to me. What is there anything new in the Haley Cummings case? Haley Cummings, Ron Cummings, Misty Cummings, everybody's got to remember all of those characters. Haley Cummings, 5 years old, disappeared, no one's seen her, and it was just the biggest cluster from day one. Where is everybody? What's going on? Do you know anything?
Well, it's interesting that you said this because I was Misty Crossland's family. This is the babysitter who was 16 years old in 2009 at the time of Haley's disappearance, who was with Haley and her younger brother, Junior, in that trailer when she vanished. She's failed a polygraph. She has not been the most cooperative with investigators. They've always said that she holds the key to Haley's disappearance because let's face it, she, was alone with these two kids allegedly and sleeping in the same room with them. How is an intruder going to come in and take a kid who might scream, might wake up? The intruder is going to make a noise when they're coming in and take a child without her knowing. And there was no forced entry to the home. That's a known fact. So she's always been while they have never said she's a suspect, she has been the person that they have looked at the most in this case. And,
right.
And her parents, it's interesting that you bring this up because like a week ago, I was looking on Facebook and her parents have set up a support for Misty Crossland Facebook page. And I was reading that page and, they had claimed that Ronald Cummings, who is Haley's father, has tried to commit suicide more than once in prison.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. What do you think, that's true?
I don't know if it's true. I know that Ronald Cummings has not had a very easy time in prison. He was initiated into a Nazi white supremacist skinhead gang. He has a swastika tattoo on him. I know that he has been in communication with Misty Crosslyn. I know that from my sources that are close to Ron's family, that Teresa Neves, who is Ronald's mother, has been receiving letters from Misty, and in return is telling Ronald Cummings what is in those letters. And apparently, Misty Crosslyn claims that she still loves Ronald Cummings. Remember, they were married right after Haley went missing, like a month later they got married, and then they divorced later on. And apparently Misty is still in love with him and says that when they get out of prison that she wants to marry him.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, you know, that you couldn't make this stuff up, Levi. You couldn't make this stuff up. Well, you know, what a match made in heaven. I just hope to
And I've also been told, I've also was approached by a woman who became friendly with Teresa Neves. And I reported this a while ago on my blog, almost a year ago. If you go to levipedro.com, you can read this. But she's from North Carolina. She got in contact with the family and pulled away because of things that they wanted her to do.
Really?
Like
what?
Try to get drugs to Ronald Cummings in prison.
Oh, my God.
When she visited him.
Oh, jeez. You know, it's just like, hey, here's somebody. Maybe we can pull them into our little web of drugs and lies.
And I've talked to many people who, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are sending a lot of money to Teresa Neves, who is Ronald Cummings' mother. And they found that this woman, Teresa Neves, was not about finding Haley and was all about covering for her son and using these people and their compassion for the situation that she was in, that she was being, they were being used for money. I've talked to so many people who have said, you know, we were used by this woman, Teresa Neves.
That is just awful. Well, you can see then perhaps where Ronald gets his charming personality. Hopefully people have stopped sending them money, but I know there's so many people that you know, people want to do something when a little child goes missing. And the only thing they can think to do is to donate. And because sometimes that's all you can do. And unfortunately, there are people that will take advantage of this. Do you know if they are actively asking for money? Is Ronald's mother asking still? Is she still asking people for money, or is that pretty much done?
I don't know if they are still collecting money. I do not know that. I do know that every year they have a vigil, a candlelight vigil, and I don't know if they're collecting money at that vigil. I don't know if they are, but I do know that there have been some. A lot of talk about, you know, improper donation seeking from Ronald's family. That has gone way back to 2009 when Haley went missing. I don't know. I don't want to regurgitate all of that, but there's been a long history of improper uses of donations. And also this in November of 2013, through some of my sources, had received a love letter that Ronald got in prison.
I remember that.
Yes.
And
this is a woman. People may know her last name. I chose not to put it out there, but her first name is Alicia, and she sent Ronald Cummings a letter, and they you'll have to read it yourself. It's just love letters, and they were sending love letters back and forth to each other, and I obtained a sample of those love letters. And you can go to my my website, and you can read it for yourself if you're interested.
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, Levi, there's so much going on in the world of true crime that sometimes some of us miss these juicy little nuggets. So I think it's important to bring them up.
And
I'm
you know,
glad you're bringing it up.
That woman, yeah. Alicia, from what I have heard, lived in a completely different state, far away from Florida, and moved down to Florida to be closer to Ronald and his family.
Oh, my God. Why would you give... Oh, my God. I can't... why am I shocked? I shouldn't be shocked. Oh, I've got to go on. I've got to read those.
It's really crazy.
It's really crazy
that people become so obsessed with this case that they insert themselves into these people's lives and will even move and take their children with them to be closer to these people that they saw on the news and wanted to fraternize with.
Well, I hope she's come around and is no longer in touch with Ronald Cummings, but my dear God, Levi, can it ever get, we always think we've seen it all, and then just more pops up. It will always be weirder and weirder every day. I can't believe it. What am I saying? So right now, Misty and Ronald are still in prison. There's no word on any sign of Haley Cummings. And for all we know, Ronald has another woman in his back pocket and is getting more love letters. Who knows? That's pretty much the story, right?
Yeah. I mean, he has Misty sending him love letters and a woman named Alicia sending him love letters.
God, this is so discouraging. It's like between Ronald Cummings and, you hear that Charles Manson is getting married. I just want to go out on a decent date. Why do these crazy
why do we allow this? I mean, these are people. This is a person who is in prison for 15 years. Ronald Cummings is in prison for 15 years for dealing drugs while his child is missing. I mean, who does that? Your child is missing, and instead of looking for her, trying to get people that know information about her to confess, you're out there dealing drugs and you're dealing drugs with them.
Yeah.
That makes absolutely no sense. His behavior has always been very suspicious, that he didn't seem to show interest in finding his daughter, almost like he had moved on.
Exactly.
He married Misty Crossland. He dealt drugs with Misty Crossland. And still, while he's in prison, showing no interest in what happened to his daughter, he is writing love letters with all of these weirdos out there. And
he's flirting.
It doesn't cast him in a very good light.
No. He's out there flirting with desperate women who are in such dire straits that they need the attention of somebody, anybody, as long as they're kind of famous. Doesn't matter what they're famous for. There's a real psychological the book that can be written about those women that go after guys like this. I mean, that's just flat out nuts. I can't imagine. Oh, I hope there are no more women out there trying to get on his good side, because he'll just use them. I mean, Oh, my gosh, Levi, it's just too crazy for me sometimes. I'm telling you, it just makes me want to put a pillow over my head and stay inside. I understand why Michael Jackson put, hats over his kids and masks, and I want to keep my kid in the basement so no one will bug him. Jeez, just makes me crazy. Okay, Levi, what is going on in your life? What can we expect from the Levi Page Show in the near future?
Well, I'm going to be blogging a lot more because I just finished a semester of school and I was really busy with that. So now that summer is here, I'm going to be blogging a lot more, and I'm almost finished with school. So you can check on my website. I'm going to be following all the latest crimes and trials and whatever people are interested in, send me a message and tell me what trials you would like to cover, and I'll cover them on my website.
Thank you, Levi.
That's what's going on with me.
That's good news. I'm glad to hear that you will be coming back, because I miss you when you're not around. You're like my pillar. I go to Levi when I need information or I want to know something. So I'm glad you're going to be back with us full time, and we missed you. So just keep in touch, Levi, and let's hold hands and get through this together, because it's going to be a crazy summer, I have a feeling.
Well, thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye now. Levi Page, everybody, go to his website, levipageshow.com, and he always has fascinating information about everything, like he just said. The love letters to Ronald Cummings, my dear God, just saying love letters to Ronald Cummings gives me the creeps. Anyway, it's a really short show this week. It is Mother's Day after all, so we're just going to take it nice and easy and head back. I'm going to just start eating like a good mother should on Mother's Day. Anyway, don't forget, Trisha's True Crime Radio is brought to you by the incredible Doris Day Animal Foundation at dorisdayanimalfoundation.org. And they have their whole intent on helping animals is to make sure they find good homes for homeless animals. It doesn't get any better and doesn't get any more clear than that, my friends. Check it out, dorisdayanimalfoundation.org. And Trisha's True Crime Radio, the opinions expressed on this show are those of the hosts and guests. And don't forget, Trisha's True Crime Radio is not connected in any way, shape, or form to websleuths.com, LLC, or forumsforjustice.org, which are completely separate entities, okay? Okay. Hey, don't forget my show on Thursday on iHeartRadio. We're going to have several guests. I promise you it'll be fascinating, interesting, and fun. And we're back here every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.